Hi, you're listening to the Self-Hostcast, a podcast dedicated to all things self-hosted. Today, I'm sitting down with Alex and Zach from the Image Development Team. Thanks for listening. Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Self-Hostcast. Today, I'm joined by Alex and Zach from the Image Development Team. Alex, Zach, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, so Alex, I was hoping we could open up with a little introduction to Image, although to be fair, I think when I look at all the projects, at least I cover from a regular basis on my site and newsletter, Image is probably one of the more popular, and I feel like it probably doesn't need an introduction. But for those of our listeners who haven't heard of it before, would you mind giving us a little introduction about what it is and maybe how it came to be?
Yep, for sure. Hey everyone, my name is Alex. I'm the project maintainer, or the banner lover and dictator for life of Image. And Image is a self-hosted photo and video management system that you can self-host. So think of Google Photos, but you can run it at home. So it has the server portion as well as the mobile app, where you can upload your pictures to the server and then get more processing on your pictures. Then you can search, you can browse it in a very easy way. So that's the gist of Image. And how it come about is a request from my wife that she doesn't want to use Google Photos because we started having kids. We start to accumulate a lot more photo and videos of our kids, and she started running out of storage. And I always like to build something useful for her. So I started that and put it on Reddit, and the rest is history.
That's incredible. I know the two of you and your development team have kind of been through the podcast circuit this year. There's been a lot going on. Your team has joined Fudo, and there's a lot going on with what's happening with that and maybe what's changed. But even before then, I remember, I think it was The Verge had you on their podcast, and then that kind of spun some other things up. So I'm going to try to avoid what I think some of the topics are that you've already discussed and stick to some of the new things. And of course, we have some recent events that I think will naturally gravitate here to start, but I think probably a better starting place. Recently, in one of my newsletters, I talked about some common mispronunciations in the self-hosting world, and Image was one of them. And as I was researching that section of my newsletter, I actually had to look up how to pronounce Image to make sure I was pronouncing it correctly. Alex, I remember when you launched Image, I remember your very first Reddit post. And in my mind, I was saying Image, very much pronouncing the CH in Image. But when I did my own research a few weeks ago, I found a GitHub conversation where someone was asking how to pronounce, and you very clearly told them it was Image, as in I-M-A-G-E, the normal word, you know, alternative word for photo. Is that correct? Does that still stand?
Yep, that still stand. So the origin, well, the story behind that is my native tongue is Vietnamese. And then, so when I have to put the apps out on the app store, I have to think of a name for the apps. And then I just go around. So we have a lot of photos. We have Libra Photo, we have Photo Prism, we have Photo This and Photo That. So the alternative way is Image. And I was like, okay, how do I spell Image out in Vietnamese? Like just by reading it out loud, but in written Vietnamese. So that how it's come about.
Oh, that's great. It's one of those words. It threw me off at first, and I wasn't crazy about it, to be honest. I know your team has received a lot of feedback about that. It was that and the logo for the longest time. But it's quickly become so much a part of my lexicon that I don't even think about it anymore. Image is just a normal word in my vocabulary. I don't think about it when I type it out. I don't think about it when I say it out loud. So you've come a long way, and I hope the rest of the community feels similarly. I do want to pivot really quickly. So also joined by Zach from the development team. Alex, I know I kind of associate Image with you because I remember you announcing it and you telling that story of how it came about way back when. It's been some time now. But I know through the podcast and all the development talks and everything with Fudo, the Image development team is more than just yourself at this point. I think there are two or three of you now. So Zach, I was hoping maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Image and how it came to be?
I joined pretty early on, like before we even had a Discord server. I messaged Alex about creating a Discord server. And ironically, I'd actually been looking for something exactly like Image for the longest time. Me and Boot, who's one of the other developers on the team, we've known each other for a long time, but we were both looking for this kind of solution, like a Google Photos replacement service, and we hadn't been able to find one. We'd gone through basically everything out there, decided it wasn't really what we wanted, and I'd got to the point of building myself basically like a to-do list of everything I would want in my version of Google Photos, and then we found Image. And I then went, well, I'll just email Alex, I guess, and see if he's up for, like, working on this with some more people. So I joined, and then Boot joined pretty swiftly after that. We created the Discord server, and then, yeah, kind of all exploded from there. We gained a bunch more developers, so.
That's kind of funny that blossomed from a conversation about whether Alex needed a Discord server or not, and now here you are full-time partnering with Alex on his project and the development of Image.
Yeah, it's pretty mental, to be honest. Like, the whole process to get here was pretty crazy. Like, I think I said this before. I think I probably said it on the original Futo live stream. But we were literally talking about the project and how great it would be to work on it full-time before the Futo talks even, like, began. And we didn't really see a way of doing that within, like, a few years even of the current... Like, even having just Alex work full-time on it, let alone a whole team. And then from that, the whole Futo thing kind of just came about. Like, Lewis Rossman just joined our Discord server and started chatting, and it all kind of came from there. It was, pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is. I didn't quite know the background. It was actually one of the things I was going to ask the two of you to talk about a little bit as we record this episode. How did those conversations start? And I know it sounds like Lewis is joining your Discord board, but can you talk a little bit about how that Futo conversation started and maybe how long it took to actually materialize into what we know it as today?
Yes, I remember very clearly that was maybe 2 days after my birthday in February. Just out of nowhere, Lewis Rossman jumped on Discord and said, "Hey, who should I talk to here to give money to? We have grant of millions of dollars to give out to projects like this." And then we kind of reel him into a more private room between the developer to talk about it, and that he kind of paint out the pictures of, so here's the thing, we have a billionaire who like to sponsor a good project, who want to give that the push to the polish and complete state. And then he speak out the current state of, you know, open source softwares get to 80% of completion, but then it lacked the push to get to the rest. And then he used the comparison of why he found Image is that he was looking for an alternative of Nextcloud photo because it kind of killed his server whenever he spin up just to look for thumbnail and, you know, the tracking, the tagline and that story get repeated many times.
Yeah, he does not like Nextcloud.
Yep. Okay, noted.
Yep. So when he found Image, he really liked it, and he was like, at least let us give you guys some money if you don't want to work for us. And then we kind of try to see what is it like to work for you, as in Futo, with Image. What are the terms? Can we keep our autonomous on the project? Can we have our own direction? What is it going to look like? So that's how the conversation started. So we got to talk with the internal Futo teams and hearing their visions, and as well as enable open source software developer to success. I think that kind of very ideal situation that when we make the announcement, people not believing us because such an ideal situation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like the announcement and not people not believing it, like we didn't believe it initially. like the reason Lewis reaches out instead of Aaron, who is the like leader of Futo, is because no one really knows who he is, and they all literally think he's a Nigerian prince throwing money around.
That's incredible.
With Lewis's own words. So it's...
I was going to ask, so Lewis Rossman joins your Discord, just hops on the general public channel and asks for who he can talk to fund a project with lots and lots of money. You had to have been pinching yourselves to make sure you were awake and this was real, right?
I remember it was kind of late at night. And then some of the developer in the core team pinged me, say, hey, look at this. And I can't verify this guy is the real one. So I watched Lewis' videos a while back, some of his repair videos, because I am an electrical engineer, so I'm interested in that. So I watched some of his repair videos where he go through the microscope and looking at the circuit board. Yeah, so that I kind of, oh, so that's the guy.
So I think this leads us to two good conversations. And I think the first is, obviously, the Futo relationship is unusual, or at least from my perspective, when I look at all the self-hosted and open source software that I've covered in the few years I've had my site and newsletter up and running. And so it's clear that Image is a special software and a special platform. And I think I know probably why that is. And I think the two of you do too. You know, when I think of the reason people self-host, one of the top reasons is usually privacy, and photos is a really big one. So probably hitting a niche there that scratches a niche for a lot of people who are self-hosting. And I try not to be biased because there are a lot of self-hosted software out there that's great. And even if it's not great, people have put a lot of time and effort into it. So I'd never want to discourage people from using other software. But I feel like a lot of the existing photo and video software tends to be geared a little more towards people who are photographers, or maybe who photography is just a little more serious of a hobby than most people. And so it ends up being a little more than what most people are looking for. And I remember that was the case for me. I had tried several different photo platforms and landed on one that I was fine with, but it was clearly geared towards people who cared a little bit more about the technical aspects of taking photos and storing them and making sure you have certain types of information displayed and readily available. And so Image comes in, and then you completely essentially recreate the Google Photos experience, which, by the way, Google Photos is a great product. There's a reason, you know, in any community you go out to, you will find people asking, what can I use to replace Google Photos? And it's not because it's a bad product, it's because it's a great product, but it's Google and people want the privacy of self-hosting. So I'm sure you're all aware of how special Image is, and I'm sure that drove some of that Futo conversation. And secondly, I think the partnership with Futo has been a little confusing for the community in a number of ways. And I know the timing at which we're recording this podcast, in the last week or so, you've started introducing the aspects as to which people can support and buy Image, and that caused a little bit of a stir, and we can talk about that a little bit. But even going back a couple months ago to the initial announcement where you were partnering with Futo, and to be honest, I don't even know how to word that. It feels weird to say that Futo acquired Image, because it is an open source project that's public and available for anyone to, you know, do what they want and fork and use how they please. But I know it's been concerning for some people because there are tendencies to look at historically what has happened when platforms go through something like this. And I think people's worst fears kind of came to the front of mine, and that kind of, I think, contributed to the reaction we'll talk about in a little bit about the licenses and supporting Image. But do you want to talk through any of that, how you've been managing just that aspect of, hey, you know, we're working with this company that's funding us, but we're still open source, we're going to be open source. And how have you had to fight people along the way to convince them it will remain open source, you're not going to paywall features, and all the things that come along with that?
Yeah, I think to answer that question, first we have to talk about Iran a little bit, because he's the kind of the head of Futo, and the way he views software, of course, going to be kind of propagate out to the project that he owned, right? And the project that in Futo. So Iran is the type of, I would say he is a developer and he loves working on code. And you know, whenever we're in the office, he's working on his own project. He's not really doing the management thing. And because of that, he really likes a good software. And he despises software that, you know, making user as product. Making the software bad by putting ads into the software,
sure.
For example, or tracking user. So that is, I think, one of the things that convinced us a lot of joining Futo. And when we joined them, we asked them, how can Futo expect us to make money? And the answer is they don't really expect us to make any money at all.
Hmm.
The best thing that happened is that we can self-sustain. Like, for example, if something happened to Futo and then we don't have the funding behind Futo anymore, the best case scenario is that we can self-sustain to continue to working on a project, giving an update, and things like that.
Sure. And I think that's probably a good segue into what you've been through the last week. So, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 23rd of July. I think it was probably last Wednesday or Thursday, you released an update to Image. And along with it came this idea where you could license Image and that you were supporting the Image team. And there's a little badge in the bottom of the software that indicates you paid for Image. You got some feedback from that. I know just reading on the GitHub discussions and the subreddit and just browsing through Mastodon, there was some reaction to that. Now today you've since come out and said, hey, you know, we hear you. We're changing the wording so it reflects better what we're trying to accomplish. You want to talk, can we talk about that a little bit? And you mind explaining kind of what the timeline of events over the last week has been?
So all of this work is actually not being pushed anyway from Futo. It's just a natural course of things that I wanted to work on because after joining Futo, we don't accept donation anymore. And then we have people asking, hey, where can I support Image financially? So thus, the work toward the payment.
I didn't realize you weren't accepting donations after you started partnering with Futo.
Yeah, because part of Futo is that we want to advocate people buying good software that they like. But we are not going to be prohibit people to use the software in any way. So they can still use it until they feel the software is worthwhile to pay for, then they can pay. No paywall, no restriction.
So you, when this update came out last week, it was, you called it license. Mm-hmm. You know, people could purchase licenses. And I think that scared people because there's an insinuation that might come along with that wording. But now you want to talk a little bit about what you announced today. I think it was just today that you changed some things up to better accommodate and maybe portray the message you're trying to relay.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the hardest problem of computer science, I think Zach can concur, is naming. The name license and unlicensed is just a natural course of action when we work on the existing payment system that other apps at Futo is already using, like Crayjay and Keyboard. So in the code, they use the word license key. So when we have to come up with a word to distinguish who paid and who hasn't paid, the word just kind of is there. So, okay, I'm just going to slap it all as license and unlicensed without thinking. This is the open source community that we talk to, and they have that experience before.
Sure.
So as soon as the announcement came out, we received a lot of feedback and criticism about the wording that we choose. Not the intention, but the wording. So it's like, yeah, I think we messed up, so we need to change.
Yeah.
So on Friday, we put out the announcement that, hey, we hear you, we're going to change, but we need time to think about that to make sure that we change to something that still make our stand, still make our statement, but giving you guys a better sense of correct of using the word. So instead of, say, saying a license or license, which is showing a button of encourage you to buy the software. And when you hover on that button, it shows you the message and the reason behind why we want you to buy the software. And after you buy it, we show you a cool, shiny supporter badge. If you hover on it, it's going to play really cool animation. And we receive really good feedback from the community, from listening to them, and from changing it to a better solution. Overall, I think the experience is really great because, you know, you live and you learn. So you know the user, how they are, and how to interact with them better in the future regarding the aspect. And also, it's also giving us a chance to have a conversation with so many people. That be people that feel like open source software, free open source software should be free, as in you don't have to pay money to use it. But, you know, like any other software, if you want to make it good, you have to sacrifice, you have to put in the effort, the time. It's a lot. And the developer should be paid for that, for the effort put in. And I have other open source developer reach out, and they was like, thank you for fighting the good fight. And we are thinking of doing something the same because the donation is just not working, especially if you want to work on a project full time. And
yeah.
Who doesn't want to work on their favorite project full time, right?
Right.
Zach, if you want to.
Yeah. I mean, the whole license, like supporter thing that we were going through, is like not really what we all want to be doing with our day. Like, we want to be building great features.
Right.
But yeah, it was a great, like, conversation. It was very interesting. I think we all basically spent our entire weekend reading comments and, like, discussing with each other.
Oh, God.
We I know I was on my phone most of the weekend, like, chatting with these guys. And yeah, I think we ended up in a good place. But I think it is, like, a really important thing that we push this. And I know some people, it like, not that many now, are still upset that it isn't like donation or supporter or something like that. But I think it is important to push this, as Alex says, for like the health of the open source community. Like, as we were saying about Lewis earlier, like the whole thing about Futo is they want to provide funding to projects that they want to see get 100% of the way there to completion, right? Like, so many projects in the community get like 80% done because you build all the cool features and it's all feature complete in quotes, but the last 20% is like the biggest hurdle to get through, because that's all the bugs and all the user experience stuff that maybe engineers don't have so much time to deal with in their free time, right?
Sure.
When it's your job, you have more time to do that kind of stuff. Like, that's part of your, like, you have more will to do that, rather than with the when you're doing it in your own time, you maybe don't have so much. I think we've done pretty well for that, to be honest, even before Futo. Like, Alex is a testing wizard and a perfectionist with a lot of stuff. So I think he doesn't let stuff through unless it's looking good and has a good experience.
Kudos to all of you. I think you've handled it well. And it's interesting when I think of open source projects and just the nature of people developing software often for free in their spare time. It's not the same as, you know, a company putting all their resources towards something. And so one developer's not getting paid, but often something's missing. And, you know, whether it's like, you know, you have someone developing who doesn't know like the front end design. And so there's often that lacking. And I saw someone on Reddit kind of joking about Image's biggest gap being a PR team, which maybe there's some truth to, because you guys will release things and then walk back once you get feedback from the community. But I love that. I think it speaks volumes to your mission and what you're really trying to accomplish with Image, and that is provide a software or platform that the community loves and will use and will convince people to switch away from platforms like Google Photos. And so while sometimes it's always easy to kind of like be on the sidelines where I am and say, oh, that was an interesting choice, you know, I probably would have thought that through differently, I kind of like that you guys have been through that a couple times now, because it shows your willingness to work with the community. And I think maybe it's starting to instill a little more confidence and trust in your development team now that you're working with Fudo. Again, going back to this whole thing where the developers are being paid now, so the software has to make money somehow. And so, you know, it's probably going to be paywalled at some point and blah, blah, blah. And I think you all the, you know, PR you guys did over the weekend and late last week to work through this has just been fantastic. And I think you saw that today when you posted your revised wording and the update to the way you were talking about that in the platform. It was resounding positivity, at least from what I could read. You always have the naysayers. And to be fair, I think the criticism you received was probably more of a vocal minority than the majority of your users anyway. I know this personally. The open source crowd is fickle and they are easy to anger. And sometimes they're a little more demanding than it feels like people should be entitled to, given the software they're getting is often provided for free. And I think that's the nature also of, you know, the reason a lot of people self-host in the first place. But anyway, kudos to you. I like what you guys have done with it. I like the update. Alex, I saw some comments you posted on Reddit earlier that I think cleared things up a lot, where you talked about you're really trying to be intentional about making sure people are associating the money they're giving you with buying the software, because you're trying to set the stage for not only Image to continue thriving, but also for other platforms to maybe start doing the same and start seeing some other developers being compensated for the work they're doing. And then hopefully, you know, things get better and better from that point.
Yeah, I think recently, or, you know, like every once in a while, you see some blog posts of some of the project maintainer of some open source project saying, this is not working, guys. We need money. So whenever they do that, it seems like they often backslash for the ask. So we want to, you know, use our reach, because with the more popular we are, the more user we have, and the more people we can reach, in order to just make the notion of buying good open source software as normal going by a cup of coffee.
So, question about where you've landed today, and even, you know, regardless of what you're calling it, when you sat down as a team to think about, okay, how do we make Image sustainable for the future? And again, I'm a finance guy, so this is exactly the type of thing I'm thinking about when I see this. The way people can purchase Image today, where they make a one-time purchase and they get a key that they can, you know, use on their server to register it, and, you know, whatever the right verbiage should be, I'm not sure. Is that sustainable? Because I feel like we were at a point, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years ago, where that was the thing. You bought lifetime licenses to things, and I'm thinking of things like Plex, and there was a well-known like security Android application early on in Android's lifetime where you could buy a lifetime license. And then a couple of years later, as subscriptions start to grow, you see these lifetime licenses start to be revoked or not honored, because I think companies realized, hey, this isn't a way, you know, one-time purchases are great up front, but maybe in the long term, they're not as sustainable. And to be fair, I'm not sure if it's that they're not sustainable or if there's just more money to be made through subscriptions and people just want more money. So have you thought about that at all? Was that a part of the discussion when you came up with the idea of what you've released?
So people associate that this is the only way for the projects to sustain, and this is not true. There are other different avenues that we can explore to make other income stream for the project while still making the business as ethical as possible and to not prohibit people from using Image. For example, we talk about this in the far future. We might offer a hosting services for people that don't want to self-host. For example, my dad, he doesn't want, well, he don't know how to run Docker or Linux, but he wants to get away from an Apple or Google ecosystem. So now we give people a choice that doesn't suck, and they can actually use use it every day. We can, you know, having different services that we build around building image and offer that for people if they want to use it. And Zach can talk a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so I think one of the ones that we've like spoke publicly about is we'd really like to build like a backup service that's built straight into image. So you can just, for people who are confident enough to self-host stuff and run it on their machines, but aren't confident enough to manage their own backups, we provide like basically a one-click end-to-end encrypted backup solution where we just store your backups. It's like one-click restore, all simple, slick, like the UI is now for everything else. But also, like with the way we do everything, a way for you to use another service or some other container to run it yourself if you want to do it that way. Yeah, we've got that. We've got another idea for like enhanced services that basically things that are not feasible for you to run yourself, things that require like 128 gig of RAM and a terabyte of disk space. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but some people might know. But yeah, it's stuff like that we can run. We can provide ways for you to run it yourself if you're absolutely insane, but we can charge small fees for that kind of thing, and it will make your experience better, but you're not giving away like a lot of the freedoms that you get with running stuff yourself.
I like all those ideas. The backup idea is really intriguing, actually. I think that absolutely has legs. I know I've read your comments and discussions, and I'm familiar with the fact that you've talked about at some point maybe doing private hosting for people who aren't willing to spin that up. And in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, well, what's the difference then between that and Google Photos? Because that's what you're doing with Google Photos. But I do know there is a difference. You know, image is still open source, so you can still see everything that's happening in the background. You would theoretically be able to audit that and parse it however you want. But I also think you're doing a lot of work to establish goodwill in the community. And I think that alone will probably give people some peace of mind when it comes to something like that.
Yeah. And I think Futo basically wants to try and build this kind of trust, but we like, as Lewis always says, like, don't trust us, trust the policies that are in place and everything around the products in order to decide if you want to rely on something or not. But we do want to build cloud, and the way we want to build cloud is the way that we currently build image. So everything's out in the open. Like, we would love to build where all the infrastructure and everything that's different for cloud is also open, like source, all on GitHub. Like, we do this with some of our infrastructure stuff now. For example, for like the Bide or image.app pages, for my image app, which is similar to Home Assistant's linking system. So you could like, it's like a link proxy back to your instance. All the infrastructure for that is all in repos that you can go and see, which is not something I've really seen many projects that have like cloud solutions doing. So we'd love to be able to do that for cloud as well, which I didn't see any reason why we wouldn't. We definitely want to, as a team, do that. So I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, we want to build everything out in the open, so that's a way to gain trust too, is to see people actually seeing what we do, not what we say, right?
Yeah, like you don't need to trust, oh, are they logging all my personal data? You go and look. Go and look at our repo that has all of our logging infrastructure in it and see what we're logging. See what we're storing. See where all our keys live and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, that kind of stuff I think would be great.
Now I'm just imagining Alex's dad hopping onto GitHub and trying to find his way around the repositories to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the fun things that a lot of people love open source and love the code being out in the open and will never look at it. They will just trust that because it's on GitHub, it's safe, and because no one else has raised like a big storm about it, that it's totally fine for them to run. Because it's in the open, it's like safe, right? So yeah, which in the most part it is. It's like a big repo like image as well. Image is, it's going to be. But yeah, for sure there's like other projects where that may not be the case.
I'm 100% guilty of that, by the way. I spin up, for my newsletter, I spin up so many new projects just to try them out so I can speak to them. And occasionally I will think to myself, I'm probably one of the first people doing this, and it probably hasn't been properly vetted, but I don't have the skills or knowledge at this point to vet that. So you're making me a little more nervous now, or maybe I'll be a little more cautious moving forward. But I'm just curious, Zach, are you diligent about that with other programs you self-host?
Absolutely not. I don't think I've looked at the source code for like 95% of the stuff I run. So yeah, unless I've had a bug with it that I need to go and try and fix, I'm not looking at the source code. I've got Image to work on, so.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't feel so bad then. And I do want to come back to that a little bit. I want to hear about a little bit about some of the other self-hosted ventures you guys are on in just your personal time. But I want to pivot really quickly and just talk a little bit, or hear you talk a little bit about how development works on Image. So there are three of you working full-time on Image now. You are in different locations and drastically different time zones. So can you talk a little bit about how you're managing that? Do you divvy up certain requests or functionality and just kind of attack it on your own and then regroup? Or are you just constantly in communication via Discord and other things? And everything really is truly a group effort.
Yeah, communication is very big for us. I don't think there would be a day go by without us being on Discord talk about Image or self-hosting. So the core team actually have me, Zach, Jason, Boot, and then two other guys that kind of part-time working on Image as well. So it's quite big. So we are in the admin group. And then beside admin group, we have the contributor group with a regularly contributing developer who has been with Image since the very start. And they often have really have stretch of contributing and then stop, and a stretch of contributing and then stop. But they're all there as a team to, whenever we have question about the work that they did, they can help us answer the question. Or when we build something around the features that they built before, they would be able to give us feedback. The way Image work before we joined Futo is that people would work on the thing they like. And that gives you the push and the drive to actually, you know, constantly working on it without being burned out, because you find your work interesting.
Sure.
All right, you're interested in your work. So that helps a lot. And now that we are with Futo, it doesn't actually change a lot. We're still keeping that notion going forward of we find a thing that we're interested in and we work on it. But we have a roadmap to get to the stable release. So we find a thing that we're interested to work on that will make big changes, potential big changes to focus on from now until the stable release in order to really nail them down first.
Got it. Zach, I saw you chuckling at something in there. Do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering where it was going when he was saying, like, this is how we worked before Futo. Like, it hasn't changed. We still just do what we're interested in. Yeah, like, I went on, like, a spree of writing OpenTofu IAC code for, like, a week, getting everything up and terraformed. Well, OpenTofu'd. I don't like the word now, but... yeah, Terraform and OpenTofu, like OpenTofu forked Terraform, if you followed that, but I always automatically call it Terraform still. But yeah, like, I think we still just work like that. I think it's the best way, at least for now. It keeps everyone, like, motivated. Like, we all, I think, work too much, to be honest. If we're not writing code at the keyboard, we're on our phones, talking to each other on Discord about the code that we're writing or that someone else is writing. So yeah, it's very interesting. I'm currently on like a 2 weeks in, partly like basically on the side, diving into reverse geocoding and like mapping the entire world with full precision, because our current implementation is pretty naive. but this new one should be pretty amazing when it's in there.
Now that you're working full-time on Image, do you give yourselves permission to step away maybe more so than you might have in the past? Do you at least take a day or two off over the weekend to get a break and reset? Or is it still like as much as you can, you're working on the next update?
Well, I cannot speak for Zach. But I feel like I live on this Discord. If I don't reply to people, I work in code. And if I don't work in code, I look at PR, do some testing. So, but I, you know, I mindfully try not to work as much as before. Well, not to work as 24 hours. You know, I try to give myself some free time there to take a break, to do something else.
I think Alex gets told the most by us to get off Discord and go and like do something else. I think I'm pretty good at not, I won't open the code at weekends unless there's something really on my mind, but I am just still constantly replying on Discord to people, whether that's the community or like these guys. So I definitely need to do that a little less. I definitely am on my phone a lot at the moment.
Yeah, and with that, I really want to shout out to the support team. So we have a few people that in the community that we give a role of support crew to, which really helpful because they help people a lot. They help answering questions when there are coming in, and there may be 10, 20 questions coming in every day on Discord, on GitHub. And it's really helpful to have the team help with that.
Yeah, that's almost another thing in itself, because I'm on your Discord. I browse your GitHub issues and discussions, and there's constantly stuff coming in. And that's daunting to me. I've written like scripts here or there where I'm like, maybe I'll put this in a GitHub repo and make it public for everyone. But the idea of supporting that and being available for questions and addressing those things is haunting to me. And so it's incredible that your team focuses so much on development, but also handles so much of that support. Now, I know it sounds like you do have some help on the Discord, but I know I still, as you both just mentioned, I see you both of you responding a fair amount yourselves. I guess if you enjoy that and you don't mind it, that's great for you. But I often wonder, so many open source projects and self-hosted software have Discord channels and servers, and they're fielding support requests. I'm just constantly wondering how they find the time to do anything when they're constantly fielding questions and stuff within those channels.
Yeah. No, I myself enjoy talking to people and to help them, because we build software to help people. So if they have issue, we should be there to help. So I think with that, I don't mind talking to people.
Yeah, that's fair. So I know I don't think it was very long ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, you guys released a blog post that was talking about all of your accomplishments, because you've done a lot in 2024. And I know one of the big things that comes up a lot is consolidating the amount of containers it takes to run Image, which personally doesn't bother me a whole lot, but I understand, especially for people who are new to this, which, by the way, I think photo hosting software is probably one of the first things new self-hosters look for. So unfortunately, I think you probably get a lot of people who are new to things like Docker and Linux in general, but it's cool to see how that's progressed. I think I wouldn't expect you to ever roll like the database or the cache into your Image container. And I think that's normal. A lot of self-hosted projects that utilize databases have multiple containers. Do you see yourselves consolidating any more than you have now? Because I think right now you have Image Server and the machine learning container, and those are the only two aside from the database and the memory cache, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for now we're probably going to stick around what we've got. There was some talks for a while about dropping Redis and doing all the queuing stuff in Postgres, but there's some really horrible technicalities to that that make it potentially not really feasible. It depends who you ask, but yeah, it's, I think for now we'll probably stick around this. especially because removing Redis is a pretty easy thing for us to do later. Like, we could just stop using it and use Postgres even after stable, and realistically no one would need to change anything. They might just have a Redis container sitting there doing nothing. There's no, wouldn't be like a breaking change. So I think the microservices that we just merged in to the main server is probably the last one for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like that's a great spot to be at. Two containers, aside from database and caching, does not seem overly complex to me. Again, I'm not new, but I would have to think you've probably gotten some pretty positive feedback about that.
Yeah, I think when we started, we have like seven or eight containers.
It was a lot. Because we had the we had the proxy that we ran with. We had the web. It was a lot. I think machine learning being separate is pretty good anyway, because there are quite a lot of people who don't run it. And you can just not run the container and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of platforms where running the machine learning container is just not feasible. It just is way too intensive to run those functions. The image itself will function fine. You'll just lose like the smart search and facial recognition and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can offload it to a different machine with, you know, more capable hardware, and just point that to the different machine and just run that one container.
Yeah, yeah. And considered that. I saw someone talking about that recently with one of your updates that they do that, and that makes complete sense if you're running it, I don't know, on like a Raspberry Pi or something.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know how many people are doing that because of storage, but
I think more than you would like are doing
it. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But I think it was a Tailscale guy, right, who did a YouTube video on their channel about using Tailscale to offload the machine learning to another, to like your desktop. So you run Tailscale on your Raspberry Pi or whatever you're running the server on, and then run it on your desktop as well. And then whenever your desktop is on, you start churning through the machine learning tasks, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I will try and find that. I'll stick it in the show notes for anyone who might be interested in that. I do remember when you had six or seven containers, because I deployed Image fairly early on, and I'm one of those people who has a very specific and particular structure to my compose files. And so I never use the compose file that is in a repo. I always take it and just kind of adapt it to how I like to structure it, and that often messes me up, because obviously I'm doing something other than what the developers have advised. And so I don't bug people about that. I recognize that's my own problem if something goes wrong, but I personally have loved the container consolidation, at least from that early stage where you mentioned you had like the proxy and everything else. It's nice to have seen that come together. Interested in hearing from each of you, maybe starting with Alex, in the last, I don't know, like 6 to 9 months, what's something you've worked on the project that you're particularly happy about or proud of?
Oh, I'm proud of everything. That's hard to say.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Things that I'd like to see. Well, so you said that thing that already done.
Either or, something you've done, or something you're maybe working on or looking forward to working on.
Well, the thing that I'm looking forward to working on is the workflow stuff. So basically a smart album notion in Google Photo, where you can create an album and then you can assign people. So if a face get recognized, then it's assigned to that album. But here we are doing something more than that. So we're creating basically a automation workflow where you have rules and condition and trigger. So for example, when a photo get uploaded, it triggered this rule. And if it has this face, it's going to this how many album. If it has this location, it's going to this many album. Or if it has two face at the same time, rules that you two is kind of web hooked to somewhere, for example. So things that is the thing that I'm most excited about. But in order to get there, we have quite a bit of work on the back end to enable that. And Zach and Jason is working on that.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason would have to tell you the exact list of things in his rabbit hole that he's currently in, but there's a lot. He keeps finding new things that he needs to refactor and rework to before this can happen. So that's like one of the things that's like potentially slowing things down, like outside of that, because there's a lot of refactoring going on. Like if you search for PRs merge that are just refactor something, there's probably a lot in the last month or so. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff that we need to do prior to going stable, because that stuff can break the clients, especially if it's API changes. Like we did some huge sweeping API changes recently.
Yeah, things is, you know, English is not my native language, so a lot of the wording that I started was singular, but as a rule, API, everything started as a plural. So we had to make changes of all those endpoint, and then those are breaking changes, so blame me.
I mean, I don't think anyone's blaming me, Alex. Like, the fact we are where we are is pretty incredible, considering he didn't have any, like, background in writing this kind of software before he started it.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the complexity of also having mobile apps that you have to release and keep in sync with the server versions as you release major updates?
Yeah, I think that the one of the difference with Image is that we have a mobile app with a companion server. And because they are so tightly coupled that the mobile app have to get tested like a lot before release in order to making sure that we don't release breaking changes without telling people, so that people update the server first and then they cannot get into their server on the mobile app. So I think it's challenging because the user have to help us to keep both up to date at the same time. And different people has different cadence of update their software. So with Image, we have to, if you want to use the mobile app, you have to update that. So you receive some complaint on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is one of the things that will be way better when we do go stable, because that will be something that we're trying to avoid like as much as possible. And then we'll also have semantic versioning, which I'm sure people are applauding listening to, right? That's one of like the main complaints, is that our numbers look like semantic versioning but aren't semantic versioning. And Alex did this lovely thing early on where they bumped the version to 1.0. So now everyone's like, why is it not stable?
So I one of my first re-release, like some of the first release, I was going 0.3 point something hyphen dev come to 1.0. No particular reason, because it was just me and my wife use it at the time. But, you know, it was history, and we were awaiting version 2.
I can see how it throws people off because of how people come to expect breaking changes when you have major version changes and whatnot. And I know that is a common complaint about Image, that it feels like there are so many releases. But as someone who uses Image, I haven't found it to be particularly an issue, because you're really upfront about it. And I am always reading release notes in depth for my newsletter anyway. So like, I'm always aware of what's happening before I update. But I think it's probably been a good lesson for a lot of people who use things like Watchtower to completely automate their container updates, where, you know, sometimes it might be appropriate, but with stuff that's sensitive like photos, you probably shouldn't anyway. Even if you were at a stable version, it's probably not a good idea to do something like that. And I can't imagine that's been a fun thing to fight against as you keep moving forward.
And we tried our best to make the release notes as easy to read and interesting to read as possible, with a lot of images, not just text. Yeah, and pointing out just the highlight that people should know about that release, instead of just showing them the long list of changes that some might not understand. So,
and the GIF at the end of every release note, mm-hmm. And this always breaks my RSS feed. So, or occasionally I'm scrolling and for some reason it doesn't like the GIF, and when I get to the end, it gets all wonky. But that's neither here nor there. I don't want to I know we're going to have to start wrapping it up soon. I want to pivot just a little bit. We've talked a lot about image, but I'd love to hear from the two of you, maybe stepping away from that. Want to talk through anything you've been working on recently, just from a self-hosting perspective? Have you spun anything up new that you're playing around with, or is there something new in the works that you've been working on from a development perspective, or even what's your favorite thing that you self-host? Anything you'd care to share?
I think Home Assistant is a good one. Like I have way too much smart home stuff in my house. My partner is like deeply unhappy about it sometimes when the lights don't work in the house because the server's gone offline, which always seems to happen when I'm not home somehow. There's some ghost that comes and just breaks my server when I'm not here. Yeah, I think Home Assistant's a lot of fun. It's like a really good, it's a good mix between like the physical world, like with all the things, like you see all your automations come to life, which you don't usually see like with a lot of stuff. It's all virtual on the web. But yeah, also I just love playing with like hardware and stuff. I've got a bunch of new like UPSs and rebuilt those with, I have like a ridiculous like 2U data center UPS sitting under my desk now to power everything. I obviously have power cuts big enough that I need to have 45 minutes of power on my gaming PC when I haven't had a power cut in like 2 years. So, right. But you know, when it does happen, I'm ready.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just an excuse to buy fun hardware. Right. So
I think that's what self-hosting is, because I've run surveys before, and you know, when I ask people why they self-host, cost is often a factor. Like they want to save money, but I don't think anyone who self-hosts saves money in the long run. But the hardware, the excuses to, you know, constantly be adding more hard drives to your server, I'm very much net negative in my self-hosting journey. Cost could never be a reason for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm exactly the same. There's no way I am saving money on anything I'm running.
Alex, how about you? Anything you've been playing around with or particularly enjoy?
Well, I'm planning to find a side project, because now that image is no longer my side project. I need to find one.
Oh my gosh.
And I really like cooking. And none of the current recipe app I like. So I have idea for different one. But it's still, you know, just an idea in my head. I haven't really put down in anything yet besides just buying a domain for it.
Oh, so you're that far along already. I won't ask you. I'm interested to hear what the domain is, but I'm not going to ask you and put you on the spot to share that. I thought you were just going to tell me you were going to go to your wife and ask what next side project, what gap there is in your lives that you need to fill, and she'd give you more guidance as to what's next.
That's a good advice. I'll go ask tonight.
Well, hey, it's been great having the two of you on. I do appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk about image and some of the things you guys have going on personally. I know it's been a super busy week. I think you're on the tail end of what we talked about a little bit earlier with some of that verbiage behind supporting image and paying for it. And again, I think you've done a great job, and I'm happy to see it's working out with the feedback you're getting. Happy to provide links to anything we've talked about in the show notes for anyone who's listening and wants to learn more about image or some of the linking you're offering now and some of the blog posts I've referenced. Is there anything you guys want to leave our listeners with before we hop off?
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone. You know, Image is built based on you guys' feedback and help. I understand that a lot of love is giving to Image. And so, yeah, that was unfortunate on us that to cause such a, it was a controversial event. But I'm happy that we come to a good solution on that. So thank you. And yeah, believe us when we say there will be never any paywall features. We really against that.
Yeah, in a similar vein, I think like a lot of the people who've come out like very against the stuff that with the licensing terms and stuff like that, it's because they do love Image. Like if they didn't care, they would have just opened the post, closed it, and moved on with their day. But yeah, it is great to see how many people do like it. We do make mistakes, like everyone does. But yeah, we like want to do the best for everyone. That's what we're here for. If it wasn't for the community, Image wouldn't be where it is.
Yeah, that's fair. It's clearly a labor of love. It's evident, and I hope the community continues showing support regardless of anything else that happens moving forward. Alex, Zach, thanks again so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening.